From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
This is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Government Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. And today I am honored to be joined by the Vice Chairman of the United States Postal Service Board of Governors, David Williams. How you doing, David? Good morning.
I'm good, Bob. Thanks for having me, and look forward to talking together.
Now, you retired as Inspector General of the Postal Service back in 2016. And came over to the Postal Service a little bit under a year ago as a member of the Board of Governors. You were IG to a variety of different agencies, including the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Social Security Administration, and the Department of Treasury. Can you sort of briefly explain the difference of serving on a governing body, the Postal Board of Governors, and serving as an Inspector General of an agency?
I guess I would start saying, as the Inspector General, my job was to find fault, and on this current job, it all is my fault. So that's a dramatic difference, and I've lost some of the fun from my life. Most importantly, for now and for some time, the role is going to entail developing a strategy for the Postal Service's road ahead. And we're doing it inside the exciting and unforgiving environment of the digital age and the global ecosphere. It's ruthless and demanding, but filled with opportunity. So it certainly makes for a more interesting strategy. The Postal Service, looking at the road ahead, has a great hand to play. I'm not sure I'd trade it with many. We're also charged with maintaining an infrastructure that enables business transactions, marketing, commerce, and logistics for the nation. It helps bind the nation. It assures that we all, no matter where we live under the same sky, as someone once said, and we're binding together the world's largest democracy. That's an important role. And the challenge for the moment also is trying to see up over the rubble of the 20th century at things that are suddenly coming at us. And then the last thing is, we can never forget that we're feeding 500,000 families in the postal family, and we're enabling several million partners to also support their families. So it's a very large enterprise. It's an important responsibility, and I'm honored to be part of it, and I really enjoy being part of it too. So it has been a change, and I've liked it all.
One of the sort of notable changes is that when you were Inspector General of the Postal Service, you had approximately 1,200 employees reporting to you. Now, as you mentioned, you have around 500,000 employees reporting to the Board of Governors. In a sense, but you have Megan Brennan, the Postmaster General, who actually conducts the day-to-day operations of the Postal Service, and the Board of Governors is long-term planning and It's sort of like looking beyond the day-to-day operations of the Postal Service. Now, my question is, right now pending before the Senate are three nominees. Ron Blum, Ramon Martinez, and John Barger are pending. So for the last almost 2 years or 2 years or more, the Postal Board of Governors has operated without a working quorum. My question is, how difficult has it been to work and to plot the long-term strategy of the Postal Service absent a quorum?
It's difficult. There are several difficulties in this strategic formulation. Yeah, actually, our respective roles are the Board of Governors with Megan Brennan at the table and Ron Stroman are to formulate the strategy, and then Megan executes it. It's far greater than kind of day-to-day running of the place. She has a much larger role. There are actually sort of a limited number of things for which you need a quorum in order to make a decision. So we've been able to kind of muddle through now that we have some governors. There are a couple of important decisions we cannot make without a quorum. What I badly miss and what I've most noticed is the absence of their input. We certainly have some foundation of knowledge. I, I have some familiarity with the Postal Service. The chairman has a mastery of financial matters. He's sensitive to life in the rural areas. He, almost as a coincidence, is very knowledgeable of nonprofit organizational matters. But standing in the wings are people with enormous business and financial and investment knowledge, and I really wish we had that as we're trying to go forward. We had to take the first step sort of on our own, but there's plenty of time to revise, refine, improve the plans that we're making with their inputs, and I'm very hopeful that they come in. After those are filled, we still have a couple of spots. I would love for somebody that's really strong in technology and IT matters to be part of the mix ultimately. But the people in the wings are poised to bring in some fantastic skills and knowledges.
One of the major issues that is now at the front within the postal world, postal stakeholders, is the imminent release of a 10-year plan that the Postal Service has promised Congress. And as we turn back the clock 10 years ago, and you were Inspector General back in 2010, as you recall, we had this big meeting at the National Transportation Safety Board auditorium where, among others, the McKinsey and Company released the 10-year plan 10 years ago. And one of the notable items in that plan was innovation, that it made recommendations with innovation. Specifically, they looked at hybrid mail, that the Postal Service ought to sort of open itself up to the hybrid mail. I think the IG did a white paper on innovation some years ago while you were there. When this 10-year plan, the new 10-year plan, is released, is it going to take another look at innovation? Is innovation a major part of it? Because a lot of criticism has been levied against 10-year plans is that it's just cut, 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 cut. And the Postal Service, as you have pointed out, when you're as the Inspector General, needs to look at means to increase revenue.
Thanks, Bob. That is right. Let me say a word about the 10-year plan as a segue to answering your question. We did develop one, and we believe the plan demonstrates that the Postal Service can be financed successfully. We also illuminated the fact that is going to be done at a dramatic cost, which I can talk more about, without congressional action. We need certain aspects of PAEA turned off or revised.
PAEA, the Postal Enhancement and Accountability Act of 2006.
Thanks. I'm not sure I could have done that. Thank you. And it also shuts off the possibility of certain kinds of modernization, which sort of makes this a bug in amber, which is, this is a terrible moment for something like that to happen. The plan was a little bit difficult because it preceded congressional action, and congressional action will actually define the target of the financial gap. So we have inside it reserves, but again, at a great cost. More price than I hope we ever need, more price increases, and more destruction to the infrastructure, which could cut us off from our own future. With regard to innovation, we're trying to commit to innovation in a period of the digital age and an ecosphere of globalism, where technologies are being developed so fast we don't really understand them, and we're not sure how to govern them. And the speed of technology is radically faster than the speed of politics. So we're going to live inside that state for a very long time. As we develop the technologies, we then begin combining them into innovations. And we're seeing creatures appearing for the first time on the planet ever. And so there's a huge gap in their appearance and our ability to develop policies around them and imaginative applications with them. And we can tell also that the planet's about to get very serious about the digital and global age. It's moving kind of from the interesting toy stage to the deadly serious stage. And then, as I said earlier, we're trying to look at all this over the rubble of the 20th century and version 1.0 of the digital age, all of which have been disrupted, and we're having to exist in a world that's crumbling around us. So that means we need to provide some transitional safety nets for people as we rapidly go through through all these changes. And actually, if we can provide those safety nets for people that are being left behind by these advances, we can actually enable faster progress. You can't keep progressing if you leave more and more people behind. So that could be a very important role for the Postal Service. With regard to technologies and innovations, I'm going to sort of follow the process through them. In the first mile of accepting mail, we need to model what would represent an optimal access network for retail, the neighborhood post offices, and for commercial, our customers that bring in large amounts of mail. I also think we need to begin to imagine post offices as universal access points for government departments that are trying to go mostly virtual, and in an era of shrinking budgets when the field structures are simply going to have to be withdrawn from a lot of departments. They need to leave behind the ability of citizens to access them, and the Postal Services right in their neighborhoods could do that. We could actually improve access and save money. And we would use a series of templates from HHS or Social Security or whatever department wants us to assist, as we do with passports now. In the middle mile, where the mail gets sorted and transported, we need to work on technologies with regard to the automation of the plants and transportation mapping and planning to increase the value of the workforce and the speed of delivery. 20th century could be expensive. And it seems expensive, but as we join together technology with the workers, they're suddenly a very good deal for the American public. We also can use technology to help us optimize the relationship with the amazing Workshare network. The Workshare is the American solution to postal problems, and it's worked extremely well. And they've helped us meet service standards and speed. They've allowed us to keep a kind of smaller postal core as the Workshare partners move mail downstream to the point where they can best put it. Transportation also has been totally privatized but not optimized. We need technologies to bring that relationship between our plants and the transportation and our Workshare partners' transportation all into much better coordination. And finally, in the last mile, delivery, we need to complete the migration to store-to-door rapid delivery, and we need to make available to the large stores and malls and revitalize shopping neighborhood strips. We need to give them the same capacity that the private express companies have and that Amazon has to deliver very rapidly from their forward deployment centers. That's what store-to-door is about, and if the Postal Service can get there in time, there's a world of opportunity there for the stores to offer fast delivery and for the Postal Service to provide it. I think there's also some opportunities for our delivery people to become kind of neighborhood logistics managers. An army of workers are now working out of their homes. And we can also better support, in a concierge matter, we can better support the elderly and the challenged who find it difficult to move outside their homes for both present services and also to make vital deliveries assured for medicines and nutrition and other necessities. With the technology could help us standardize the delivery modes. If we can know that the mail boxes will either be inside cluster boxes, which we hope are greatly enhanced, or on the ground level at the property line, post on box or attached to the house, we could deliver a lot more service with the same number of delivery people, so we could vastly enhance what we deliver. Lastly, smart cities and megacities are coming at us, and we want to continue to provide seamless rural delivery. So we have 250,000 mobile and stationary platforms for broadband, the Internet of Things to sense, and other kinds of services that bring richness to the lives of communities. Megacities, if we don't plan those, could be very lonely, soulless places, and the Postal Service could help assure that does not occur.
Yeah, Dave, one of the challenges, particularly with you had mentioned about working with retail outlets to become the deliverer of choice, the Postal Service, because of its army of deliverers in every part of this country. One of the interesting metrics that recently came out within the last week or so is that if you look at Amazon, which controls right now around 40% of e-commerce in the United States, with a pretty quick turnaround from the point at which you click off for packages that are carried by Amazon to the door, there's around a 3.2 day from point of click of purchase to the point of delivery. In 2017, the Postal Service carried 62% of Amazon's parcels. The most recent data from spring 2019 is that the Postal Service has shrunk from 62% to 33% of Amazon parcels. At the same time, Amazon has grown its delivery of parcels from 15% in 2017 to almost a half right now. How does the Postal Service deal with that challenge of retailers now looking at their own logistics for delivery of their products?
Well, I actually think we're encountering the difficulties of making it work the way it's supposed to work. With regard to the private express companies and companies that deliver their own products, and Amazon's certainly the star of the show there in that second category, they always intended and hoped to deliver what they were able, but they're unable to deliver to rural places that the Postal Service can include and actually make a profit, because we're able to mix mail and flats such as magazines and catalogs with the parcels. So we can make a profit where they cannot. It's a really great relationship, and it is changing. Mm-hmm. But that's part of the modernization of the country. We don't want to fall behind as a nation because we're trying to prop up some stagnant system. It's supposed to be dynamic. It is dynamic, and it is challenging, but that's our job.
Now, bring Amazon, and I do want to bring that up because it is such a large player in the postal market, and now it's gone pretty global. Over the past week, there's been reports in Brazil that the president of Brazil replaced the former CEO of Brazil Post with a person who is agrees more with the new president, that is to privatize the Brazilian Post Office. And Amazon and Alibaba, who is sort of the Asian analog to Amazon, are now looking at Brazil Post as an opportunity to purchase it and actually privatize the Brazilian Post. Is that a possibility in the United States? And if so, how does the Postal Service deal with such challenges? Because there is overwhelming congressional opposition to postal privatization.
There is, and the president's workforce recently concluded the same thing. That's not a very American solution. We are very heavily privatized now. I mentioned transportation and work share. That represents most of the employees involved in the U.S. Postal Service. So we currently are privatized. We took a different route. We left behind a core that belongs to the nation. And it's felt that by, as you said, a lot of people, that that's important to do. It assures that we have a level playing field for new entrants and entrepreneurs, that their road to entry isn't blocked by a corporation that owns the network, and it's a very human natural instinct to try to, as you can come to control something, to encounter conflicts of interest, to reward your friends, to punish your enemies, or to reward yourself only, mm-hmm. if you're large enough. So we picked a different path, and I think it's the right path. Nevertheless, that's a decision that needs to be made by the nation, mm-hmm. not by the Postal Service, and perhaps not by anyone by themselves. We have elected, after we learned some very difficult lessons, to maintain this conflict-free national infrastructure The robber barons at the turn of the century sort of did take over delivery of parcels, and they really crippled the nation until Teddy Roosevelt and others stepped in and ended it.
One of the issues that you and the Inspector General's Office has done considerable amount of exploration is postal banking. This week, the House Financial Services Appropriations Bill was passed, and there was a provision in it that was introduced by Congressman Pascrell of New Jersey, and there was report language that actually was included by the committee that the Postal Service ought to look at expanding the use of ATMs within post offices. And Congressman Pascrell sort of allocated or wanted to earmark $1 million from the revenue forgone appropriation to the Postal Service to expand non-postal financial services within post offices. What's your sort of impression of that, those types of moves?
Well, first of all, I think they're occurring at the right place. This is a national decision. It shouldn't be decided by parties in interest, which include the Postal Service. In the path of future disruption, we've certainly been disrupted on this planet by technology, but in the path of disruption are financial services. We don't even know if there's going to be currency in 10 or 15 years. So we're watching at this point the banks trying to ride out the disruption. It's very human for them to attempt to control this unwieldy migration. And so they're really probably going to be very cautious of anyone else entering the arena. On the other hand, as I said, this needs to be decided for America, not for any parties in interest. What we're seeing, what we're watching, is the collapse of branch banks, which means access to banking services in smaller cities and in neighborhoods. And we're seeing the rise of payday loan industry, and that's what those IG studies, the Inspector General studies, focused on. Something was happening. When you put that off to the side for a moment and look where post offices are, they're in every neighborhood in America. So they seem to be better candidates to fill this vacuum than the payday loan industry. And that's what the report said. I'm sympathetic to the other views. But I also think, you know, job one is to care for the country and to care for the citizens more than we care for other people of influence. And as I said, I like where it's occurring. It needs to be decided in Congress. That those are the voices of the people.
Yeah, you pointed out, and with this, I'm just going to make this observation. Maybe you can respond. The one institution in the United States that is the great equalizer, providing non-discriminatory governmental services, whether you be in rural areas, suburban areas, or urban areas, is the United States Postal Service. That's what the universal service obligation is all about. This is something we, as a group, ought to fight for collectively. Is that something that, as we look at the 10-year plan and beyond, I mean, we refer to the 1920s as the roaring 20s, 2020s may be the raucous 20s for the Postal Service. How do we move forward?
Well, I certainly think that the road ahead is assuring that all Americans, as I said, live under the same sky. It's the very strong will of Congress that be the case, and for both the political parties are very dedicated to making sure that this institution binds the nation and cares for people regardless of where they're located and where they choose to live and where they were born. There are other things involved in universal service, such as assuring reasonable cost. We always have to be conscious that we only charge as little as we possibly can to make ends meet. That's the value proposition of the Postal Service. And then the speed of delivery across the country, the frequency of delivery to your home. Those are the things the important elements of universal service. And I think that's what we're all about. We don't just accidentally provide equal service in rural areas in the city. It's much more than that. It's our reason for being. It's the definition of who we are.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Governor Williams, and we look forward to working together for comprehensive, meaningful, and positive postal reform. Take care.
Thank you for the time together, Bob.
I'm going to bend right down letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna